Are you listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International? Uzbek President Islam Karimov is in intensive care. We speak about that and other issues. Taji Mustafa, speaker, writer, activist from Hizb ut-Tahrir, joins us on the line. Taji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my brother?
I'm well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
The Uzbek leader is in intensive care. Tell us about his rule from 1991 till the present day.
So now, really the only leader that most Uzbeks have known in recent times, as you said, since 1991, actually just before that, just before the fall of the Soviet Union, he was the man in charge. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, the push for the independence of the former Soviet republics, this being Uzbekistan, he made a lot of promises about Islam in those days, President Karimov. And so a lot of people supported him. So Karimov has been the president since 1991. Initially, people who for over 70 years had been kept away from their Islam. There was a brutal rule of the Soviet Union on the Muslims of Central Asia. The masajids were turned into all sorts of places, you know, not places of prayer and mosques as we know it, but changed and used for all sorts of purposes. They became dilapidated. People had very little knowledge of their deen, very little practice of the basics of the deen. But now, after the fall of the Soviet Union, people started to reopen the masajids, clean them out, renovate them, refurbish them, flock to the mosques, learn the basics of the deen. Islam started to grow. And for the first few years, things were in a way okay. And actually, Karimov played along with this. But then he became really extremely authoritarian. He saw maybe this growing Islamic trend as a threat, started to accuse practicing Muslims of terrorism, jail all opposition activists, Islamic or not, people fled into exile, tortures become rife. So really there's no opposition to him internally. And most of the Islamic groups, which are the ones that remained, Hizb ut-Tahrir and others, members have been arrested, tortured, famous people like Farhad Usmanov boiled alive. So there are many reports by human rights organizations, by Craig Murray, a former British ambassador, about how the level of torture is amazing. For simple things, for people being regular in the masajid, for people learning the deen, the average Muslim is so oppressed in this land, which has a very strong history of Islam. Many of your listeners know Imam Bukhari, you know, the famous muhaddith who wrote the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is from this land, Zamakhshari. It has a great Islamic history, which is really has been attacked by this man Karimov, and people have been brutal in the most amazing way. The jail is full of thousands, tens of thousands of what I would call political prisoners, practicing Muslims who he sees as an opposition, not people who fought the regime. That's the situation. So now he's in jail. Now that he's been hospitalized, there are questions of where does Uzbekistan go next? What will happen in terms of the repression, the cooperation with the West? There are many questions in the air.
Yes, you shared with us fascinating aspects with regards to Islam in Uzbekistan and the various scholars that came from that region. And you also made reference to the period, you know, under Russian rule and what has now transpired. So at present, you know, if we have to analyze and look at and perhaps present an overview of Islam currently in the region, how would you analyze that to be?
I would say that, subhanAllah, these have turned out to be some of the most pious of Muslims from all sorts of the Islamic tradition. Some of the Sufi Mujahideen, Imam Shamil and others, they came from, you know, Central Asia, the Caucasus. This region of has a very strong Islamic history. The awakening after the removal of the Soviet Union is very natural. When you leave Muslims alone, after you've taken them away from their deen, when they're facing problems, it is natural to rediscover the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When everybody fails you, the Muslim turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there has been that growing resurgence. People have gone abroad to study in the Muslim country. They've come back to Uzbekistan. So there has been this growing trend. Karimov seems to see this as a threat, and hence Imams, one imam was assassinated in Turkey some months ago. So opponents are chased abroad. So there is a global Islamic trend. More and more people coming to the masajids. Doesn't mean everybody's practicing, but this is the dominant trend in society where over 90% of people are Muslims. But it seems he has tried to arrest that trend. He has closed some of the masajids in some of the big cities. Imams have been threatened. And what they call the rise of political Islam, because there are people in Uzbekistan, whether from my organization, Hizbut Tahrir and others, who say, we lived under Islam, we're part of the Muslim Ummah, surely the success in this life and the next life is to go back to living as Islam, as a comprehensive system of life under the Islamic Khilafah system. This he has branded terrorism. So he has been fighting Islam in many guises. And when people are killed in prison, people like Farhad Usmanov and others who are murdered in prison or elsewhere, they force the families to bury them, sometimes literally in the middle of the night, to hide the level of repression. So he won't succeed in the end, but it has forced people to, be a bit quiet about their deen and to practice it, under the, like in the Soviet days, but he cannot succeed like in the Soviet days because societies now, Islamic trend has taken root. But he has tried his best to fight the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people will not be crying the fact that he's in hospital and he's in intensive care. But there's obvious question, where next for Uzbekistan? Who would be the successor? Will things change? And all the people around him, they seem to share this vision he has of fighting Islam and Muslims. They took part in the war on terror. Germany had a base in Termiz, the Termiz Air Base. The US used the Karshi Kanabat Air Base. So in the war on terror and the invasion of Afghanistan, the West is now a strong ally of the Uzbek regime despite his crimes against this Ummah. So he has tried to stem the Islamic tide, but it is a tide that nobody, you can't stop Muslims looking into their deen, turning to Allah, especially when they face problems that nobody else can answer.
Now, in terms of, who's he been pushed by, or whose agenda is he serving, would you go to the extent of saying that perhaps he's a stooge of the US or Russia?
He's played the game. He's played both, actually. Uzbekistan is in a very strategic location. It's a few minutes flying time from Afghanistan. So when they launched the so-called war on terror to invade Afghanistan, the US does not have many bases in the region. And so at that time, Karimov, the dictator, the tyrant, the murderer, the killer of Tashkent, became a strategic ally. The West said, we need this man. And so he worked with them. And obviously Russia does not like there to be Western-backed or Western-allied rulers around its borders, around the borders of Russia, i.e. the former Soviet Union. So things were cold. But, in recent years, there's a lot of cooperation with Moscow. So this man has actually played both. He realizes that he's in a strategic location. He is needed. And the West has turned a blind eye. Western rulers have largely turned a blind eye to most of his crimes. There was a massacre in Andijan, some of your listeners must be aware of. In 2005, thousands of people were killed, murdered. They came out to protest peacefully. He sent in troops, turned guns on them. Thousands were killed. They were simply protesting about their deen, about the arrest of some of the local people there. So he's played both sides. He's been courted by both sides. He's cooperated at one time or the other with Russia, an ongoing one, excuse me, as well with the US, with Germany. So, this man has actually, he's played it because it's a very strategic place for those who want to access Afghanistan and access a region which has a lot of wealth, has a growing Muslim population, and is seen as critical in the so-called war on terror.
Yes, undoubtedly a sad situation in terms of the rulers and the type of rulers that we do have. Now, if he was to pass on with his health deteriorating, who would take control? Would there be a power struggle?
This is a bit of an unknown. There is a prime minister, there are people like Rustam Inoyatov, the chief of National Security Committee, hardly photographed in public. There's the finance minister, Rustam Azimov. these are seen as some of the possible players. Uzbekistan also has kind of like a clan-based politics. So, you know, do you have support of the clan, some of the big clans, which Karimov has played against each other? I think it is not very clear who will take over. So it's a bit of an unknown. It could be, you know, the top official, Prime Minister Shavkat Mirziyoyev. What seems to be clear is most of them seem to be signed up to what he started. Seeing Islam, a rising Islamic feeling and sentiment, and the call for Islamic ruling and the Sharia and the Khilafah as a problem, labeling that as terrorist. So if the person goes down this road, then we will find more repression. We will find a population that's very unhappy because they're being repressed, and some lash back, you know, because of this repression. But I think a message to all of these tyrants is, just as Karimov is in a sick bed today, none of them will last forever. Wallahu ghaliban ala amrihi. Allah has power over his affairs, and the success and what will bring stability and progress to Uzbekistan and the region is for the people to live by what is in their roots, is in their history, which is their deen, which is their Islam, shared by over 90% of the population. So until and unless a ruler comes who appreciates that and implements the Islamic system, which is in line with the people, you have a recipe for instability. So anybody who wants good for the Uzbek people, which the whole of the Ummah should do, and we should make dua for them and support them, you know, we should support their call for Islam and the Khilafah system in this part of the world, and indeed in the rest of the Muslim lands. But it's uncertain days right now. We pray to Allah to bring good and khair for the Ummah there and the Ummah throughout the world, inshallah.
جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Yes, interesting phenomena. And as Brother Taj had outlined, that the more people endeavor to suppress Islam, the more it rises up against oppression. People continue with their practicing. So it has been a really challenging period for Muslims in the Caucasus and in that part of the world which was under Russian rule. Now that they've been granted freedom, they are now standing up for the deen and returning to the deen. May Allah grant them strength and give them the ability to practice on the deen in its entirety.